weeks. It's good to see all of you here. We know that each and every one of us will be blessed by being in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. Now then, there's something I need to take care of here, first of all. So, everyone who is not a mother, please stand. And we would like to salute mothers, and we say, great Mother's Day! Thank you, please be seated. Great Mother's Day to each and every one. This is the day when we honour our mums, and we give thanks to the Lord for the part that most of our mothers play, and some people who, not necessarily our mum, but have been like a mum in many ways, and we salute each and every one of them. Now then, Talk about good timing. If you have bought your mum a gift, that's great. If you have not yet bought your mum a gift, I have the solution for you. Our new church pens have just arrived. Now, even if you have already bought your mum something, flowers, whatever, this is the ideal top-up. Aren't they beautiful? Literally, I ordered these pens for the church, and they're beautiful, and we're able to sell these at $3 each. So if you want to buy your mum an extra gift, here it is. We've got them today. We haven't got a lot. $3 each. They're great. Now then, what have I got next? Dale, would you stand and come to the fore? You're on in a minute.
I'm on in a minute.
It's his birthday today. But listen.
Hold on.
It's not just any old birthday. 65 today. Woohoo!
Thank you.
Now, if anyone is looking for a nice gift for Dale, Dale, you're on.
Announcements, yes. Wednesday, May 20th, Mustard Seed. Sunday School and Vacation Bible School are looking for help. So please contact Susan or Andrea if you can help in any way. And Grant is looking for some sponsorship in a ride to beat cancer. Also been asked to announce that WA is meeting this Thursday at 2, and that was clarified for me later that it's 2 p.m., not 2 a.m. Thank you.
I think what Trudy said was, if you want to come early, you can do AM. Are there any further announcements? We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, writes about the fruits of the Spirit. And this is what he says. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're now going to worship the Lord in our approach choruses. And I'm asking Kathy, are you heading for me? Can the power people sort the organ? But you were okay for... Okay, so Kathy, if you would like to come and lead us in our choruses, and Laurie will lead us in music. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to start this morning... Ooh, that was a little loud, wasn't it? We're going to start this morning with Open Our Eyes, Lord. So I guess we're looking at number 215 in the red chorus books this morning. Oh, I guess we're on pause here.
Remember these things?
Sure. Why don't we just... We'll just go ahead, eh?
Okay, we're
good. Oh, all right then. Just like that. Okay, let's all stand. We'll sing. Open my eyes. Whoa. We got the wrong words up here. Go back to your book. Quickly go back to your book. And we'll try again. You know this one anyway. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. And next we'll go to number 48, the Cares Chorus. We'll sing this one twice as well.
I cast all my cares upon You.
Way to go into worship. And just before we go into the rest of the service, we'll sing 123, Glorify Thy Name. This is a great one to get our hearts ready for worship.
Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our wonderful Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord, that you have called each of us on this your special day to come here to this place of worship, to be together in fellowship, and to be here in your wonderful presence. And we thank you, Father, because you called us, and you called us in so many different ways. But no matter how you called, Lord, we have heard your voice. And we come here today, Lord, because we want to hear your voice. We ask you, gracious Father, in this our time of worship, to open our hearts, to open our minds, and help us each one, Lord, to hear your voice as you speak to us in this time of worship. And we come, gracious Father, above all else, to glorify your name in all the earth, to glorify your name in this our time of worship. We seek, Lord, to bring honor and glory to the wonderful name of Jesus. And so we pray, gracious Lord, that you will accept the praise that we bring. Because when we come, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus, in the name of him who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The scripture reading is from Acts chapter 12, verse 26 to 40. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, Go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Asked Philip. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch said to Philip, Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. And the responsive reading is taken from Psalm 22. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
All the nations of the earth will feast and worship. All who bow down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive.
Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They proclaim his righteousness to the evil yet unborn, for he has done it.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
In our worship service to the celebration of Holy Communion. And of course this, as I always tell you, is a wonderful and one of my favourite times in the whole of our worship together. We celebrate the Lord Jesus' love for each and every one of us. And we come together to participate in his body and in his blood, which was broken and shed for us. And we demonstrate so our love for him.
Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now, like last Margaret, you should come and lead us in the singing of our communion hymn, We Remember You. So we stand and we sing to God's glory. Same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the body of our Saviour Jesus, which was broken for us, and to drink of his blood, which was shed for us, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.
Would the elders come and join me, please? You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and present yourself in all humility before Almighty God. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was broken for you, to preserve you unto everlasting life. Take, eat, and be thankful. Thank you. the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. This is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you. Christ said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, for this blessed communion, we give you thanks. And we ask that by your body and that by your blood, we may be made strong in your spirit. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you this day with grateful, thankful hearts for all that you do for us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept the gifts and to accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. The two young ladies who played for us during the offertory, would they please stand? We very much appreciate your talents, young ladies, and you did a great job, and we look forward to the next time that you do the same again. Thank you. You're jumping the gun here. It is time for the Sunday school to go to Sunday school. Thank you. Kind of feel guilty. We could bring them back for the sermon. And now we will stand and we will sing to the glory of God the hymn number 60, Morning Has Broken. Before we have our prayer time, just a little bit of sad news to pass on to you. For those who haven't already heard, Winston McElroy, you remember Winston who used to sit over there with Daisy? Well, Winston passed away last night at the age of 96. Nice man, real nice man. Not sure yet when the service is going to be. He's going to have a memorial service. It is going to be here in our church. And we will let you know as soon as we have the details of when that will happen. I'm sure you'll keep Winston's family in your prayers at this time. You remember last week we had a little incident with our Gwen. Gwen kind of had a little turn there and she passed out briefly and she finished up in Sunday hospital and she had what was described as a very slight mini stroke. But she didn't. She wasn't kept in. Mick was able to take her home after do all of the tests twice, and she is progressing well. And The first time I talked to Gwen, she said, "Oh, I was so embarrassed." But anyway, Gwen has written a little note here to her friends, to her church family, and she gave it to me to give to me and asked me if I would read it to you. So here it is, a note from Gwen. Mick and I really appreciated the kindness shown to us last Sunday. Thank you for the visits, the phone calls, the flowers, the baking, and most of all, the prayers. I can feel the support of our church family, and I realize more than ever how important it is to belong to such a Christian fellowship. Thank you to each and every one. I am weak and tired, so don't want to be caught sleeping during the sermon, as if. Hope I will be with you all again next week. Mick had perfect confidence in the professional nursing care and the concern of all of our wonderful friends. I hope I can be of help to many of you sometime too. Much love, Gwen. Nice letter from Gwen, and a nice reminder of the power and the importance of prayer. And many times people tell me when something happens to them, when they're going through a tough time for whatever reason, the number of times people say, "I could feel the prayers lifting me. I could feel the prayers lifting me." And this is so true. And if you've gone through it, you may be one of the people who've said that. "I could feel the prayers." Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this quiet time of prayer here in our sanctuary of worship and our sanctuary of rest. Lord, we have all in our different ways had a busy week, dealing with our homes and with our families and with our various responsibilities, dealing with life. And we are thankful, Father, that we are attached to you as branches to the vine, and we can draw upon the strength and upon the resources that you provide for us, dear Father. We ask you to fill us now with your holy presence. May we feel the peace of your Spirit as it descends upon us and envelops us with that wonderful feeling of safety and a feeling of well-being. That feeling that we get as our souls rest upon you. And because, Father, we are attached to you, you know us so well. You know our needs. You know when we are weak. And you know our strengths, and you know how we can best serve you in your kingdom. And you know, Father, just how much each and every one of us can bear much fruit if we remain attached to you. Father, open our minds, open our hearts, that we may be receptive to your love, to your guidance, and to your inspiration. We thank you now, Father, for the many ways that you enrich our lives. We are reminded again, Lord, in Gwen's letter of how in our church family we are supported, we are strengthened, we are prayed for, we are loved and we are cared. And we thank you for our church family, Father. We thank you for our homes. And we thank you especially for our own families. And how good it feels to have them around us. To be all together. And on this special day, Lord, when we do come together, we give you thanks especially for that great blessing in our lives, the blessing of our mother. And we realize, Lord, in so many ways, our mother's love for us is so much like your love for us. Because no matter where we wander, our mom's love goes with us. And if we should falter or fall, she is there for us and she picks us up. And no matter how we may go wrong in our lives, Father, we are thankful that we can be certain of at least two people who will always forgive us. You, dear Lord, will always forgive us. and so will our mum. And so we say thank you, Lord, for our mothers. We thank you again, Lord, for our church family. We are conscious of those who are missing from our gathering together today in this time of worship. Lord, wherever they may be, whatever their circumstances may be, we pray for them, and we pray, Lord, that whatever their circumstances, they may just pause for a moment and they may know that we are praying for them, because we do know, Lord. We are praying for them, and we pray that they may be blessed. And we think especially of those, Lord, who are in need at this time. Each and every one of us knows of people, Father, who are in need in their lives. They may be sick in body, mind, or spirit. They may be just having a tough time with life. They may be suffering from the economic downfall in the world at this time. Whatever it may be, Father, Christ is the answer. And so for those who are laid upon our hearts at this time in the silence of this beautiful sanctuary, we bring them to you and whisper their names before your throne of grace. And at this time, Father, we would just pause for a moment to give thanks for our dear friend Winston McElroy, a member of our church family, Father, a man who thrived on the love that this church and this family gave to him. And as he was then a member of our church family here on earth, we give you thanks, Father, that he now rejoices with his family in heaven. And we just thank you for him, for his life, and for his witness amongst us. And so, gracious Father, in the week ahead, we pray that you will help us as we seek to bear fruit in your kingdom, as we proclaim our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our lives. We pray, Lord, that all that we say and all that we do may be to his great honor and glory. And we pray, Father, at all times, in this week ahead, that we may be aware of your love and your gracious presence with us. We ask you, Father, to hear these prayers and to hear the unspoken prayers of our hearts, for we offer them all in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning. Today's gospel reading is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Today's epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Sorry, the print is really small. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not what we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and reply on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in the world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who dares not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen, and he has given us his command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Thank you, Tim. When Tim read that gospel reading, you know where Jesus talks about we are branches of the vine. When I hear that scripture reading, my mind usually clicks into the old King James Version. And can you remember the words that Jesus said? He used the word abide. He said, "Abide in me and I will abide in you." And the same with the epistle reading. In the King James Version, it uses the word abide. It says, "Abide in love and abide in God." When was the last time you used the word abide in your everyday life, in your everyday conversations? It's one of those words, isn't it, that we all know what it means. It means remain in, stay connected. And yet, it's one of these biblical words that kind of sticks. And when I was preparing for the worship service for this week, that old hymn came into my mind which uses the word abide, in heavenly love abiding. And so we're going to stand now and we're going to sing to the glory of God to the tune of 369, which is called Angel Story. You'll recognize it. We stand and sing to God's glory in heavenly love abiding.
Such confiding, for now.
Just like to give a brief word of thanks to David, who is our technical manager today. Grant is on holiday. Grant and Susan, they're off to the island to enjoy the sunshine and the flowers and the green, and hey, we've got it here at last. But David, thank you for stepping in and doing everything that you do, whatever you guys do. Thank you. Would you pray with him, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Because today is Mother's Day, or Mothering Sunday, as it is known in the English church. And let me tell you where that came from. Way back in the Middle Ages. This is the day when people would return to their mother church. People who had left home, they'd gone off to seek their own fortunes, to do their own thing. There was a special day when they came back to their mother church to rejoice and give thanks. And afterwards they went home to their old home with their mum, and they gave thanks for their mum, and they gathered together and they celebrated Mothering Sunday, or Mother's Day as we know it. So anyway, today is Mother's Day, Mothering Sunday. However, today in the church calendar, says today is Easter 5, with the lectionary pointing towards one of Jesus' I am sayings when he says, I am the true vine and you are the branches. So we've got, it's Mother's Day, and we've got the lectionary which says it is lectionary day, as it always should be on Sunday. So the preacher has a dilemma. What should the preacher do? Mother's Day, the true vine. Let me quote you from a periodical which is called the Shepherd's Diary. And it's written by a man called Steve Lau. This is what he writes. And you remember, he's addressing preachers. Remember this, he says. If any of you are tempted to play down Mother's Day this year, you do not tug on Superman's cloak. You do not spit into the wind. You do not drive a Mazda in a GM town. And you certainly do not tell a church it should not celebrate Mother's Day. Some causes, he says, are worth martyrdom, but purging Mother's Day from the Christian calendar is not one of them. So happy Mother's Day. Some experts were asked about mothers. And what made these experts in this subject was the fact that they were all grade 2 students, and each and every one of them had their own personal mother. The first question they were asked was, why did God make mums? Why did God make mums? And the first answer that came up was an easy one. It was because she knows where everything is. And that is true. Not just with our mums, but our partners, our wives. They know where everything is. Second one, why did God make mums? Mostly to clean the house. These were grade 2 responses, remember. They speak as they see. And another interesting response to why did God make mums? To help us out when we were getting born. I guess they sure did that. The next question the experts were asked was, what are mothers made of? What are mothers made of? Well, dirt, just like the rest of us. Next one was good. Next one says, they're made of magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. And the third one was, well, they're made of the same as me, but just with bigger parts. And finally, here's a one that you mums will really like. What are mothers made of? God made mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world. Now, isn't that sweet? But I'm afraid to tell you that there is a little sting in the tail and a dab of mean. Just a dab. Here's an interesting one. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mum? Good question. I bet lots of mums would like to hear the answer of that one from their children, no matter how old their children may be. And the first answer was quite simple, and it would seem apparently quite logical. 'Cause we are related. Well, yeah, I suppose. The next answer obviously involved some in-depth philosophical thought. God knew that she likes me more than other people's mums like me. Good answer. Sometimes we say, don't they, only his mother could love him. Of course, these experts were asked many questions and their answers were obviously quite a revelation. But of course, too many and too lengthy to go into all of them here. But I just want to close with one of them. One of the ones they asked was, what's the difference between mums and dads? What's the difference between mums and dads? First answer was, mums work at work and work at home. But dads, however, well, they just work at work. And I guess in this generation of working mums, that is so true, isn't it? So true. And the next answer gives us some insight into a mother's more gentle and persuasive nature. What's the difference between mums and dads? Moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Listen to this one, difference between mums and dads. Dads are taller and stronger. Yes, that's often the case. But mums have all the real power. Somehow I think that we dads knew that. We've always known that. But listen to the end of it, the little bit of reasoning. Because that's who you've got to ask if you want to sleep over. Great answers about mums. And I think it was William Ross Wallace who said, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. I think most of us find that that is the hand that rules our world anyway. And the final answer to this searching question, what's the difference between mums and dads? Mums have magic. Magic? Well, what kind of magic? Well, they make you feel better without medicine. And I think that's so true. Most kids turn to their mum and mum makes them feel better. I think, you know, a mum never really switches off from her expressions of care and love for her children. And this applies no matter what age the children are. As they grow up and they get older and they become independent, mum does not cease to care about them and to love them. One man wrote to the Reader's Digest and said this, "My mother has always treated me like a baby, no matter what my age. After turning 30, I bought myself a computer and learned to use it. And thinking that I would impress my mother with my skills and with my maturity, I sent her a well-written letter, complete with computer graphics, borders, and on a very elaborate typeface. And I telephoned her to ask her what she thought of my letter. 'It's lovely, dear,' she replied. 'I have it on the fridge for all the neighbours to see.'" And then there was the mum who phoned the school on a particularly stormy morning. "Did my son get to school safely this morning?" And the secretary asked, "What's his name? What grade is he in?" "Oh, he's not a student. He drives the school bus." Moms, never stop caring. Many of our church family have or have had mothers. Many of our church family are mothers. Many of us are married to people who are mothers. So I think we can boast that we overall have a reasonably good understanding of motherhood. Motherhood includes a great deal of cajoling and persuading and guiding and prompting and giving and sometimes taking away maybe in the form of grounding or timeouts or being sent to our room. You remember that? Being sent to your room. I was sent to my room just last night. Sometimes we were naughty and we needed a little bit of correction and redirection. But whatever form your disciplining took, I'm sure that now when you kind of look back on things, you can just start to see and understand where your mum was coming from at that particular time and in that particular circumstance. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." Isn't God's role in our lives a lot like a mother's role? God tends, a mother guides, God counsels, a mother teaches, God prunes, a mother takes away or applies a timeout or in some way lets the children know that they are off track. The desires of both God and our mother for our lives are the same. In both cases, the aim is to grow good fruit. For mother, we are to become strong and wise and educated and courageous and ethical and well-mannered. And for God, we are to remain connected. To be connected. To abide in. Being connected is a computer term. And when we are connected, we are hooked up to the internet. And when we are connected to the internet, those of you who are doing this surfing now, we'll find that we can do all kinds of things on the internet. We can check the news, we can check sports, we can check the weather, we can research any subject under the sun. We can travel to the other side of the world. We can see live pictures of current events or weather happenings. We can even talk to people and see them at the same time. But only if we are connected. Only if we are connected. You can go shopping on the internet. You can buy just about anything. But you can only do this if you are connected. If you break your connection to the internet, or even if your connection becomes weak, you find very quickly that you can do absolutely nothing. Jesus says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Your mother has always wanted you to have a fruitful life, a good life, a worthwhile life. Your mom always wanted your life to make a difference. And your mom always wanted your life to be a good influence on all of those people around. And in that, God and your mom have always been on the same page. But as we grow in life, the time comes when we seek our independence. We want to stand on our own two feet. We want our own place. We want freedom to do our own thing. And if we're honest, we want to be away from the watchful eye of mother. And the connection is cut. And that's why this can be a dangerous time for young people. Because the connection with the steadying and the modifying influence of mother and home is cut, or it becomes weak. And I think I speak for all of us when I say at some time or other, we've all experienced storm damage to our trees. We see firsthand how quickly a disconnected limb of the tree withers and dies. And we can see the logic. We can see the common sense in what the Lord Jesus is saying. The grapevine is most productive plant. It is a most productive plant. And if it's cared for and looked after properly, it will give an abundance of grapes, an abundance of fruit. It spreads out its branches, and each one is intended to bring forth fruit. The grapevine is not grown for its beauty of its leaves or its foliage. It is grown for fruit. And to achieve the best possible fruit for this plant, the gardener cuts back and he prunes the vines to the point where sometimes they look dead. They look as if they're ruined. And you kind of look at them and you think, how can anything ever good come out of that? But the gardener knows what he is doing. As the branches of Christ in the kingdom of God, we are expected to produce the fruits of spiritual life. And here we're talking about what's going on in our spiritual life. What's going on in the orchard of your life? What kind of fruits are you producing in your life? And if you want to know what kind of fruits the Lord Jesus expects from our lives, they are the ones that I read to you in the call to worship this morning. St. Paul tells us in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How is the orchard of your life? From St. Paul's checklist, is your life fruitful in these fruits of the Spirit? It's interesting, right at the beginning of our service, Peggy couldn't play the organ. No power. Somehow it had got disconnected, and so out of the organ came nothing. If we remain connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will make us fruitful, and we will produce the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And when the gardener comes along with his pruning shears and looks at your life, he can then decide, does he need to prune or does he need to cut off and discard? And the final question, is your mother proud of you? Thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymn this morning, we will stand and we will sing To the Glory of God, the hymn 354, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the trusting us. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning.
To be God's people. To do now for just a brief moment, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to say a little word of thanks for your mother. And when you've done that, if your mother is standing close to you, turn round and give your mum a hug. Let's do that now. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, now and forevermore. Amen.